right. Well, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to give you a little heads up. I'm going to let you turn to the New Testament this morning. That's where we're going to be. Specifically, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians. But first, we have a little video that we're going to show you this morning that's going to hopefully relate to what we need in our life today and relate to the topic of the message this morning. So just pay attention to that for about a minute, and then we'll get into the Word of God today. Now, that's a funny video. It is, I have to admit. And I saw that years ago, and I searched for it this morning concerning the topic that I'm going to bring to you today. And it just makes you wonder how many of us are going through life, not leading, I guess I would say, and allowing things just to be done for us. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, I'm going to ask you one more time to stretch your legs if you don't mind and stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 today. I always thought that was comical as they stood there on that escalator and, just get off the escalator, right? Or start walking. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is what the Bible says. That's a favorite saying of mine. This is what the Bible says. It's not what I have to say. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples of all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father in heaven, we pray this morning, Lord, you'd reach down and touch and tender our hearts and our lives this very day. Lord, I pray that we can look at the wonderful and beautiful example that the Apostle Paul has given that we can apply it into our life, dear Father, the testimony not only of Paul, but the testimony that we find that was transformed in the Thessalonian church. So, Father, I pray that you be with us during our worship hour this morning, Lord God. I pray that you touch us. Have the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts, Lord, through thy precious word. And we ask these things in his name, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing as you have this morning. Please be seated and get comfortable in the pew there if you will. But I want to speak to you this morning on this thought of leaving a lasting leadership. What we see here in this very first letter that Paul writes, he writes it, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the first one that he writes. We see a testimony of the conversions of those in the city of Thessalonica. Paul's opening statements to the church was very commending to their efforts, commending to their labor, commending to the sacrifice that they had for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, their testimony was a blessing to others throughout the known world. For Paul says these things about them. He speaks of their work of faith in verse 3. He speaks of their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the same. He speaks that they became examples to all that believe. And then he says that their testimony, he says that from you sounded out the word of the Lord. He goes on to say, in every place, your faith to Godward, he said, is spread abroad. What was their testimony? What was their faith to Godward that was spread around to people? How ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God. Beloved, this testimony that the Thessalonians had, it was something that they turned from. They turned from pagan worship. They turned from bowing and giving money and praying unto idols, things that were made with man's hands. These false gods. And I mean, listen, they gave everything that they had in Thessalonica at one time to what we call these pilferers of profit or these preachers of paganism. It's absolutely amazing to see what the Thessalonians did when the precious word of God came into their life. Now, just for a brief moment, by way of introduction, I'm going to ask you to hold your place in 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me over to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts just real quick. Acts in chapter 17. We're speaking on the topic today of leaving a lasting leadership. Leaving a lasting leadership. And what I want to ask you this morning is, what type of leadership are you leaving in the lives of those that are around you? In a topic or in a title of such a sermon like this, this would seem like someone who may be preaching their last sermon or who may be on their deathbed or whatever it may be. And I'm saying this to you this morning, that is nowhere near the case, at least as far as I know, amen. We should leave a lasting leadership upon the lives of those in every step of the way, in every day, every hour, every time that we're around someone. There's some type of leadership that we should leave in their life. These Thessalonian people, these Thessalonian idol worshipers, these pagans that were converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ, they received Jesus Christ in a beautiful, beautiful manner. And their testimony was spoken abroad to everyone. But guys, it did not come without difficulty. In Acts 17, look with me in verse 1, the Bible says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and to Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few, he says. If you look at those last three or four words there, women not a few. Guys, there was a mixed multitude of people who went from serving sin, who went from serving self, who went from serving the seduction of this life and turned to the living God. But like I said, it did not come without difficulty. It did not come without trouble. Keep reading with me in verse 5. It says, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. Beloved, we have heard the testimony of Paul. We've heard his testimony and of those who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in Thessalonica in that day. But I want you to notice here that the testimony that Paul had himself within the city, within Thessalonica, it says that those that have turned the world upside down. Here we have a group of people that went one day, 2 days, or 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, from servant pagans, from servant idols, from bowing before something that was made with man's hand, not created by God, didn't have God inside of it, no matter what justification you may look at. They're bowing and worshiping these things. They can't speak, they can't see, they can't hear, they can do nothing. In reality, it's like we mentioned the other night, they're worshiping Satan, amen. And so they're bowing to these things, putting their hope and their faith in some type of iron or wood or clay god. And then all of a sudden, Paul comes in there, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaches them that Jesus must suffer, must die, must have risen again, and that Jesus, the Son of God, is the very Christ, the very Messiah that has been prophesied for several and multitude of centuries. And they turn from what they've known all their life. They turn away from something that many of them may have been doing for 50 or 60 or 70, 80 years. They turn away from that and they turn to the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what they're said, that Paul is said about him. They that have turned the world upside down, they've come hither also. So not only do we see a testimony of those in Thessalonica that got saved, that is shouted out abroad, but beloved, we see a man who has a testimony of turning the world completely upside down. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to them? That means they went from serving the devil, they went from serving pagans and on their way to a devil's hell, to serving and being saved by the precious blood of the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and now a destiny in the eternal heavens. Paul's life, Paul's ministry, Paul's preaching, Paul's practice was so proactive that he earned that reputation, that he turned the world upside down. You see, what he did is he turned the world's eyes upon the one who created the world and who created them. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the lives of those souls in Thessalonica, it did not come without trouble. But can I tell you this? It also did not come without leadership. And I want to speak to you this morning concerning that topic, leaving a lasting leadership in the lives of others. Beloved, it was Jude that said in his ever so small and short but most powerful epistle, he says, making a difference. He says, some with compassion, others with fear. But he says, making a difference. As a believer, beloved, not just as a preacher, not just as a pastor, not just as a missionary, we all have a responsibility to make a difference in the lives of those that are around us. We all have a responsibility to leave a mark in the lives of others. Now I want you to notice back in our text this morning in 1 Thessalonians, notice some of this leadership qualities that the Apostle Paul had. You say, well, preacher, I'm thinking about that video still with those people stuck on an escalator. Well, think about this. Somebody needed to lead them off that thing, didn't they? Somebody needed to quit doing what everybody else was doing. Somebody needed to quit following the status quo. Paul stepped up into Thessalonica here where they had a synagogue for the Jews and the rest of the city was nothing but pagans, and he starts preaching Jesus Christ, and it made a massive change for the rest of these people's lives. In verse 5, we find in our text this morning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in the much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. It was the power and the might of the Holy Spirit of God, who made an effectual difference in the lives of those that were around them." When Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus walked up into that city and they started preaching and teaching the Word of God and started preaching and teaching that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that Jesus Christ suffered and died and yet rose again for us, for each individual, for the sin of this world, it wasn't just in word. It wasn't just in throwing flippant words out there, but my friend, it was in power. It was in deeds. It was in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 6 with me. This is what the Bible says. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." Now, that right there, you may stop and you may think, wait a second here. Paul is saying that they became followers of us. And that may not sound like it should. It may not sound like we think the world is telling us that it should sound. You see, what happened was that they saw that these men and these women and these children became men, women, and children of God. And they became affected by Paul's life and Paul's leadership. And they began to live out the Word of God and live out the testimony of Paul, even though with much affliction. They did it, guys, even though they were afflicted greatly. Remember Acts 17, verse 5? "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar." The Bible says that they assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring out all the people, and they found them not. But that last statement of verse 6 says, "These that have turned the world upside down to come hither." Guys, it was not easy for them to accept Jesus Christ. It was simple. But they knew when they believed on the Savior, they knew when they believed on Jesus Christ that everything that their families have taught them, even, hey, listen, everything that their employers have taught them, that the employers held them to a T, everything that they had in their life was now going to change. They were willing to experience the conflict. They were willing to go through the discomfort. They were willing to do these things, the continual onslaught from the enemy. So the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ would be seen and known throughout all the world. As Paul writes, that it was sounded out of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, Achaia, but in every place, he says, "Your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Guys, we hear so much today that don't be a follower. Live your own life. People accuse many churches out there today of man worship or man following and all this and that. And I understand that point. I understand when we look at it and you have organizations or religious organizations that are having people worship men, that's wrong. There is no man on this earth that deserves to be worshiped, amen. There is only one that ever walked this earth that is worthy of worship, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And we shouldn't just follow men blindly, because we have the same Word of God that the man of God is preaching from. But when the man of God preaches the Word of God, as Paul did, there's nothing wrong with them becoming followers of their testimony and following the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you this, that it sure is better than the alternative. Think of what they may have done. No, we're not going to follow. We're not going to do what Paul's saying. We're not going to follow him and his testimony. We're going to continue to do what we've always done. You see, if you make no changes, beloved, you get the same results. And these people were worshiping idols, worshiping in a pagan religion. And Paul gave them the truth of the gospel, the precious, sweet, soul-saving proof, truth of the gospel. Notice there his testimony once more in verse 9 of our text. He says that you know of what manner of entering. Remember what Paul did when he came into the city. I love this verse. I do. Back in Acts 17, it says, "And Paul, and as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days." Now, three Sabbath days would be a total of 3 weeks. "Three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Now, I've mentioned this, and I'm going to mention it a little later on. Paul was not only a great and powerful leader, but his love for the Lord was seen and known among all the people, not only in this city here, not only in Apollonia, not only in Amphipolis, not only in Philippi, which will be was before, not only in these other areas, not only in Athens, not only in Ephesus, not only in these other locations. Paul's love for the Lord Jesus Christ was seen throughout the whole world. And it was through him reasoning from the Scriptures. You know what reason means, to reason with someone? Reason is just common sense. It just makes common sense. Now, I understand that in our world today, common sense is not too common anymore. I understand that. One of the famous scriptures in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, God speaks unto the man of God. He says, come now, let us reason together. Is it not reasonable today to think that if we want an answer of God, about God, who he is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, maybe what we should do, definitely what decisions and choices we should make in our life, should we not go to the one that created us? If I wanted to know about a watch, if I wanted to know that how this particular watch here works, I'm not going to go down to the automotive store and ask them, amen, I'm going to ask them about a filter what type of oil I should use. I go down here to try it. I give them our reg to our car. They look at what type of oil that I need. They look at what type of filter I need. They give me that filter, amen, usually a pretty good price, amen. That's all great and wonderful. Why? Because that's what they do. But I'm not going to go to them and say, hey, listen, what kind of battery does my watch need? No, I'm going to go to the people that made that watch. See, guys, if we got a question about something in our life, a decision that needs to be made, a choice of how to do something, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it for that matter, we need to go to the one that's telling us to do it. And he's given us a word right here. Now, some people are going to tell you, well, that's just stories. That's just stories. And they're wrong. You watch the people that sit here and say, well, that's just stories in that book right there. No one really knows where they're going to go. You watch their lives, and you see how it is. Up, down. Up and down, up and down. Because they make decisions on how they feel that day. Guys, we got to make decisions and choices in our life to be a leader, to leave a mark in someone else's life for the Lord Jesus Christ, despite how we feel. Why? Because the Word of God that changes not, written by the God himself who changes not, has dictated us to do so. He's given us the precious opportunity. He's given us the honor, the privilege to represent his word in this world today. Paul's love for Jesus Christ was spoken out through all the world. So what is needed? What is noticed in Paul's life in leaving a lasting leadership in the lives of others? I want you to notice first here this morning, I want you to notice that there is an increase. Now hold that thought. Look in our text, verses 2 through 5. We've already read them. But he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in as much assurance as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now what Paul is speaking of, he's speaking of how he came into the city. His leadership, you know how we came in. Our life was an open book. Acts 17:4 says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of a devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. We see an increase when Paul came into Thessalonica, an increase because of a moving of the Holy Spirit of God, because of the preaching of the Word of God, and because of a testimony of God himself in the man of God. Those who made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior in Thessalonica, those who placed their trust in Jesus Christ, is whom Paul preached to, that we find in Acts 17, that when Paul reasoned out of the Word of God, it says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And we're going to address that thought, that idea, that verse here in just a moment. But I want you to think about what Paul is preaching in the synagogue. For 3 weeks, three whole Sabbath days, on that seventh day, Paul is coming in there. And he's taking the very same scripture that they're reading every single day. And he's reasoning out of them. This is what had to happen. The Messiah had to come and suffer these things. The Messiah had to die and be buried. And Messiah had to raise again. And it was him that happened some 20 some odd years ago from when Paul is preaching this to them. Him that was buried. It was Jesus who was the Messiah that you're continuing reading about and continuing to look for. How is increase measured in our life? I mean, is increase measured in numerics? Is it a numerical measurement? Not always. But it is a truth. You can measure increase by numerics. Is increase measured in knowledge? Sure. We should increase our knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason why we should, because we should always be able to give an answer to every man that asketh us of the hope that lieth in us with meekness and fear. You know what you don't have to do? You don't have to have an answer for the seven dispensations of the Bible. Now, if you want to learn those things, that's great. I teach them back here. You know, I teach them in the Bible study class. Wednesday night's Bible study is intended for us to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And we're in the book of Revelation at the present time. The reason I've told you from day one, the reason we're in the book of Revelation is for you to see, bringing the future into focus in our eyes so that it may provoke us to be a greater testimony for Jesus Christ in this life. So we may see less people enter into that time and go with us to heaven. So yeah. Increase is measured by knowledge. Increase is measured by growth. Not only in physical growth, but in spiritual growth. Growth in the Word of God. It's measured in maturity. The Bible speaks of being perfect. It doesn't mean sinless perfection. It means mature in your Christian walk. Increase is measured by peace. It just so happened today, it wasn't by intent, but we read Psalm 102. What the psalmist was to do in the midst of being overwhelmed, when it all went south, the psalmist looked north. Increase is measured by balance in the Christian life. It's measured by victory in the life that we live. Paul writes unto the church in Colossae, saying, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man, here it is, perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, with worketh in me mightily. So, beloved, I want to go ahead and tell you that leaving a lasting leadership in the lives of others, it's going to start with an increase somewhere, somehow, some way. But secondly, in leaving a lasting leadership in the lives of others, is that it's going to start with an influence. Look in verses 6 through 8 with me in our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, and ye became followers of us. He had an effect on them. And of the Lord had an effect, having received the word with much affliction. We read about that. With joy of the Holy Ghost. Why? How can you receive something in affliction yet still have joy? Well, that's the peace that passeth all understanding. We can't understand it, but it yet happens. Verse 7. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Can I just give you the simple, down and dirty definition of what it means to have an influence in the lives of others? It means to simply have an effect on them. To have an effect on them. Leaders are to have an effect on others. Leaders are to have an effect on those that are around them. Leaders are to affect people in their own personal sphere of influence. Now, before I read a little article to you, Most people, when they think of leaders, they think of presidents and prime ministers and pastors and those in a positions. And I'm going to tell you, if you're thinking that this morning, you're thinking wrongly. I'm not saying you're doing bad. I'm just telling you that if you're thinking today that the leadership roles only resides in a position, I know many men in high position, they ain't leading anything. Amen? At least not in a positive manner. Leaders are someone who has accepted Jesus Christ. Leaders are those that will stand in the position because God has given every one of us a sphere of influence. He has given every single one of us in this life people that we are to lead in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And we are to lead them through the testimony of Jesus Christ. One article on leadership opened with this, said it's ironic that when you ask leaders, or even good ones, what constitute leadership, you often get a vague, disparate, and vapid response. You would think that all of people, this population, would offer a crisp, concrete definition of their own crucial work. Instead, you'll get references of energizing, visioning, pathfinding, modeling, and a dozen other tangents of real leadership, but almost no reference to the central task of a leader. And you know what that is? Influencing. Influencing. And how true that is. Influencing those that are around us. That's what a leader does. Influencing others has become a lost target and a lost goal in the world today. It seems to be that the driving force of those in position or in an ability to lead eventually becomes introverted upon their self and not extroverted among those that are around them. What kind of influence did Paul have as a leader? Acts 17, verse 6 says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren out unto the rulers of the city, crying, these, again, I say this again, his testimony, these that have turned the world upside down, come hither also. So what did Paul do? Paul, the Bible says, the opening a legend that Christ must needs suffer and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you, is what Paul says. He says, this is the very Christ. He's the Messiah that you looked at. Now, when he came into that synagogue in Thessalonica, and I've already taught you what the synagogue was made up of in the New Testament time. It was made up of one side of the lower floor was Gentile men, and a second side of the lower floor were the Jewish men, and up in the balcony is where the ladies sat. And there was a wall that went down the middle, a middle wall partition that Jesus Christ himself, by his death, burial, and resurrection, broke down to where everyone comes under the same blood, same sacrifice, the same saving spirit of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. There's no middle wall partition separating men, women, and children of any race, gender, whatever it may be, no sin that separates us today that Jesus Christ did not die for. Paul goes into this synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he takes the word of God out. And the Bible says that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Jesus is Christ. Opening a legend that he must die, that he must suffer, that he must be buried, and that he must be risen again. But do you know what what Paul did not have when he stepped into that synagogue? What was he using when he reasoned with them? Was it his vision? He had a vision, we understand that. Mystery is made known unto him, but that's not what he utilized when he came in there. Paul was preaching from the most read book of the scriptures in the synagogues in Jesus' time. And he took an Old Testament scripture from the most read book and the most read chapter of that book to support the position that Jesus was and is the Christ. Isaiah 53 in verse 1, this is how it goes. You can read it from up top. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. We shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from the judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see of all of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is what Paul, the leader, preached. This is what Paul, the leader, lived. This is what Paul, the leader, loved. And he had a great influence on their lives. Beloved, he was effectual. And to be effectual means to have great effect. Paul was an influence unto them. And he simply reasoned with them out of the very scriptures that he had read for decades and centuries. But can I say this to you lastly this morning? In order for you to have a lasting leadership, leaving a lasting leadership in the lives of others, yes, there's got to be an increase. Yes, you must be an influence through the power and might of the Word of God. But can I tell you this morning? It must be intentional. Verses 9 and 10, the last two of the chapter in 1 Thessalonians says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The very opening words, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." There must be a purpose behind the leadership. There must be a purpose behind your leadership. There must be a role that we play in life and love to leave something in someone's life to make a difference in these days. A purpose difference. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not something that's accidental, but it's a prior planned event that has a purpose to have an effect on those that are around us. Our life, my friend, our life will have an effect on someone. Our life will have an effect on someone somewhere, somehow, and in some way, whether we realize it or whether we even expect it. 7 years after the Thessalonican experience, in the spring of AD 58, Paul pens a letter to the church in Rome, the Roman Christians, I should say. And in Romans 14:7, he says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Everybody's going to have an effect on someone, positive or negative. And beloved, the choice that we have right here, right now, today, is to choose to have an effect in the way that would benefit and glorify Jesus Christ. Paul was not interested in his name being on a billboard. He wasn't interested in his name in lights. He wasn't interested in fame nor fortune. Paul was interested in glorifying our Lord. He was interested in being a leader in the lives of others. They may leave a lasting effect in their days. So what mark will you bear in someone's life this week? What impression will you make upon the heart and soul of another today? Beloved, the choice is yours. The increase, the influence must be intentional. But it needs to be and must be through the precious Word of God so that we may bring glory, honor, and praise to the risen Savior, who must needs suffer, who must needs die, who must needs be buried and risen again. And that Savior is the very Christ, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this time together. And again, Lord, as we prayed earlier, we ask you to not allow us to shut off or turn off. Lord, in the closing hymn today, as we sing the wonderful hymn written by John Newton, Amazing Grace, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in that which you've heard today, that which has been read, and that which has been spoken. We ask you, Lord, to make a difference in our lives as we would make a difference in the lives of others. And let us choose this morning to make a difference in the way that brings glory to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We thank you, dear Lord, in the precious name of Christ our Savior, we ask these things. Amen and amen.